Welcome, Discovery Rangers. Today we will be exploring Antarctica's hidden melt, warm water under ice shelves.
Welcome to a brand new deep dive. Today we are we're actually going on a bit of an expedition.
Oh, definitely. A very cold one.
Right. We are heading down to the coldest, just most extreme place on Earth, Antarctica.
Grab your winter coats for this one.
Seriously, you're gonna need them because we're exploring this massive hidden underwater mystery and a futuristic engineering idea that sounds honestly like it's from a sci-fi movie.
It really does. But it's all based on real notes from a Discovery Rangers debate from, well, mid-May 2026.
Yeah, and that debate focused on some mind-blowing new research led by a scientist named Madeline Youngs.
Our mission today is basically to figure out what's happening under the ice and, you know, why it matters to everyone listening.
Exactly. So to even picture what we're talking about, I want you to imagine a bathtub.
A very big bathtub.
Right, and imagine you drop a massive ice cube into it. Like a really giant ice cube that's floating in the water but still kind of attached to the edge of the tub.
That is basically what an ice shelf is.
Just a giant piece of ice floating on the ocean water, spreading out from the land. But like up to 2 kilometers thick.
Which is incredibly thick. And the reason these ice shelves matter, the big why we care part, is that they act as giant shields or buttresses.
Buttresses, like holding something up.
Exactly. Antarctica has all these huge glaciers on land, and those floating ice shelves act as a shield, physically holding back the land ice so it doesn't just, you know, slide right into the sea.
Wow. Okay, so they're like the bumper stopping a car from rolling down a hill.
That's a perfect way to put it.
But what happens when that giant ice cube in our bathtub starts melting? And not from the top where we can see it, but like from the bottom up.
Well, that is the exact mystery we are looking at today.
Right, because to understand the danger these giant ice cubes are in, we have to look below the surface, like at the ocean water itself.
Deep down into the dark.
Yeah. So imagine you take a hot spoon and you just place it right underneath that floating ice cube in your bathtub.
The bottom is going to melt first.
Exactly. The hot spoon just eats away at the bottom of the ice. So what is the real world hot spoon in Antarctica? I mean, shouldn't the water under the ice be freezing?
You would think so, right? But the hot spoon here is actually something called circumpolar deep water.
Circumpolar deep water. Okay, that sounds intense.
It's basically a very deep, very salty layer of ocean water that constantly circles around Antarctica.
And it's warm, like tropical warm?
Oh, no, not tropical, but it's a few degrees warmer than the freezing point of seawater.
Ah, okay, so for Antarctica, that's pretty warm.
Right, and when this warm, deep water flows up and actually reaches the underside of the ice shelf, it does exactly what your hot spoon does. It causes bottom melting, or basal melt is the scientific term.
Basal melt. So the base is melting. That makes sense.
It seems straightforward, but scientists, especially Madeline Youngs and her team, discovered that this melting triggers a really surprising chain reaction.
A chain reaction? Like what kind of chain reaction?
They call it a hidden accelerator.
A hidden accelerator.
Ah.
That sounds a little spooky, honestly.
Yeah.
So we know the warm water melts the ice, but like, what happens to all that new meltwater?
That is where the science gets super wild.
Okay, wait, let me think about this. The ice shelf is made of fresh frozen water, right? Like snow.
Correct. It's entirely fresh water.
But the ocean underneath is salty. So if fresh ice melts into a salty ocean, does it change the recipe of the water?
Change the recipe?
Yeah. Like, is it like pouring a cup of fresh, sweet juice into a bowl of really salty soup?
I actually love that analogy, yes. It is exactly like pouring fresh juice into salty soup. And this creates what scientists call the freshwater feedback loop.
Freshwater feedback loop. Okay, break that down for me.
Well, salt makes water heady and dense, right?
Right. Salt water sphinx.
Exactly. But the fresh meltwater from the ice doesn't have that salt, so it's lighter, it's less dense.
So it wants to float up to the top.
You got it. Normally, there is this natural barrier of really cold, dense water just sitting there, protecting the ice shelf from the warmer ocean.
Like a cold wall of water.
Yes. But when all that new, light, fresh water suddenly shoots upward, it weakens that cold barrier. It stirs everything up.
Oh, wow. So the cold barrier gets totally mixed up and pushed out of the way.
Exactly. And because that protective barrier is weakened, even more of that warm, circumpolar deep water rushes in.
Oh, I see where this is going. The warm water rushes in, which melts even more ice, right?
Right. Which creates even more fresh water.
Which shoots up, breaks the barrier even more, and pulls in more warm water. It's a loop.
A completely self-sustaining, invisible loop happening hundreds of meters underwater.
That is wild. And nobody can see it happening from up above.
Nope. Satellites can't see it. And the stats from the 2026 study are just, well, they're kind of shocking.
How shocking are we talking?
This sneaky feedback loop causes about two-thirds of the predicted increase in bottom melt.
Wait, two-thirds? Just from this one loop?
Just from this loop. And they predict it could add about 0.2 meters to global sea level rise by the year 2100.
That is a lot of extra water creeping up our coastlines.
It really is.
So, okay, if this warm water is just sneaking in like a hot spoon to destroy the ice shelves, what if we, I don't know, what if we just built a giant shield to block it?
Well, you are actually thinking exactly like the Discovery Rangers.
Really?
Yeah. This brings us to a massive, mind-boggling geoengineering idea, building giant underwater walls.
Underwater walls. Like building a giant fence in the ocean.
Pretty much. They call them sea curtains.
Sea curtains. Okay, so imagine trying to build a giant fence to stop a rushing river from flowing into your backyard garden. Is this, like, science fiction? Or are people actually trying to build this?
It is a real, seriously debated idea. The International Thwaites Glacier Collaboration is even planning to test the concept in the future.
No way. They're actually going to try it.
On a small scale first, yeah. The idea is that these massive sea curtains would be firmly anchored to the seafloor.
Right at the bottom.
Yep. And they would physically block those warm, heavy currents from reaching the ice while letting the colder, lighter water near the surface just safely glide over the top.
That is genius. It's like a speed bump that only stops the bad traffic.
Exactly like a speed bump.
But building a fence sounds simple enough when we talk about a garden. Doing it at the absolute bottom of the world has got to be, well, one of the hardest jobs imaginable, right?
Oh, it's arguably the ultimate extreme building challenge. We can't just go out there tomorrow with a toolbox.
Right, because looking at the sources, the conditions are insane. The temperatures drop below negative 60 degrees Celsius.
It's unimaginably cold.
And there's sea ice that's like 1.5 meters thick, covering an area of 25 million square kilometers.
Just getting a boat there is a nightmare.
But wait, the biggest danger isn't even the weather, is it? It's icebergs.
The icebergs are a massive problem.
So, okay, picture this. Imagine a giant snowball, right? But it's the size of an entire city.
Okay, giant city-sized snowball.
And it's rolling down a hill, and it smashes right into our little garden fence. That is basically what a 100-meter-tall iceberg would do to this underwater wall.
Exactly, because most of an iceberg is underwater. If that huge chunk of ice drags along the bottom of the sea, it would just completely rip the sea curtain away.
Just totally destroy it. And I'm guessing these things aren't cheap to replace.
Not at all. The scale and cost are enormous hurdles. We're talking about walls that would need to be hundreds of kilometers long.
Hundreds of kilometers under the ocean.
Yeah. And current estimates say it could cost somewhere between $40 to $80 billion.
Wait, $40 to $80 billion just for one wall?
For a single wall. And that's just the money. Think about the engineering. You'd have to safely drill through up to 2,000 meters of solid ice and then work underwater under just intense crushing pressure.
Okay, so it's ridiculously expensive and incredibly dangerous. But what about the animals?
That is the third huge hurdle, the ecology.
Because if you block the ocean currents, aren't you blocking, like, the food?
Precisely. Ocean currents bring up nutrients from the deep. If you change those currents, you could totally confuse or even harm amazing marine life.
Like what kind of life?
Everything from microscopic phytoplankton to krill, those tiny shrimp-like creatures, all the way up to penguins and whales.
Oh, no. So we'd save the ice, but maybe starve the penguins. That's a terrible trade-off.
It's a huge risk, which is why there are two very distinct sides in this debate.
Right. You've got the pro-wall side, who are looking at this as an emergency backup plan because they want to save the coastlines.
And then the pro-hidden melt side, who are saying, look, the wall is too expensive, too dangerous, and too risky for the animals. We need to focus on what we can do right now.
So who wins? Where did the Discovery Rangers land on this?
Well, imparting the debate fairly, the consensus is that while this geoengineering, this sea curtain idea, might buy us some time in the far future, right now, it's considered basically impossible to build safely.
The technology just isn't there yet.
Exactly. So scientists agree we need a better, much more immediate solution.
And what is that?
The most effective, proven way to protect our coastlines right now is actually to reduce greenhouse gas emissions.
Oh, okay. Let's connect those dots. How does reducing emissions, you know, stop our underwater hot spoon?
It's all connected. Greenhouse gases trap heat in our atmosphere. But a huge amount of that trapped heat is actually absorbed by the global ocean.
So the air gets hotter, which makes the ocean hotter.
Yes, and that heat travels through the ocean currents. So if we reduce our emissions, we naturally slow down the warming of the entire ocean.
Oh, which means the circumpolar deep water, the hot spoon, cools down.
Exactly. You stop the hot spoon at the source, and if the spoon isn't hot, the basal melt slows down.
And if the melt slows down, the freshwater feedback loop never gets out of control. We fix the problem without building an $80 billion wall.
That is the scientific consensus, yes. Stop the warming, stop the loop.
That is amazing. But it kind of brings up a big question. What can we actually do? Like, what can you, the listener, do today?
It can feel overwhelming, right? Like you're too small to make a difference?
Totally. But you don't have to be a grown-up in a lab coat to help the Earth. There are actually a ton of things kids and curious adults can do right now.
Absolutely. The first step is simply to learn and share.
Yeah. Talk about these ice shelves with your friends. Explain the fresh juice in the salty soup analogy. The more people know, the better.
Second, save energy. It sounds basic, but it works.
Simple things, right?
Yeah.
Turning off lights when you leave a room, using a little less heat, or, hey, riding a bike instead of taking a car. All of that means burning fewer fossil fuels.
Which directly helps keep the planet cooler. And third, you can actually support real science.
Wait, like from home?
Yes. There are lots of free online school projects where anyone can help track sea ice movement or look at iceberg images from satellites.
That's so cool. You can literally be part of the research team from your living room.
You really can. And finally, just keep asking questions.
Yes. Never stop wondering about the world. Small actions, small questions, they all add up to make a really big difference.
They absolutely do.
Wow, what an epic journey today. We started by picturing this giant floating ice cube in a bathtub.
We discovered that incredibly sneaky freshwater feedback loop.
We imagined building massive $80 billion underwater sea curtains.
And finally, we realized that the real power to protect the ice might just be as simple as turning off a light switch.
Thank you all so much for joining us on this amazing scientific adventure.
It's been great. But before we go, I want to leave you with one final thought to explore on your own.
Ooh, I love these. What is it?
Well, we talked about how ocean currents connect the entire world, all right?
Right.
Think about this. If a single drop of fresh meltwater escapes from underneath an Antarctic ice shelf today, what path might it take across the globe?
Oh, wow.
Could that very same drop of water riding the currents for years eventually evaporate, turn into a cloud, and end up in the rain falling on your own hometown?
That is wild to think about. We're literally all connected to the ice.
Ew.
Keep wondering, everyone, and keep exploring.
Thanks for listening, Discovery Rangers. If you enjoyed this, please ask Mum or Dad to play another episode for you.